Greetings, considerate viewers. Thank you for joining us on Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living.
Fruit bats are responsible for 90% of the regrowth of the forests. About 145 genera of plant depend on bats for seed dispersal and pollination.
Today, in the last of a three-part series, we are again visiting Luby Bat Conservancy in Gainesville, Florida, USA.
We have the most diverse collection of bats in the world. We have 12 species of fruit bats, 212 individuals.
Fruit bats, also known as flying foxes, belong to the suborder Megachiroptera of the family Pteropodidae, which contains approximately 166 species who are unique for their purely vegan diet. These fascinating mammals, including some critically endangered species, can be found in densely forested areas of Africa, Asia, Australia, and Europe. And although they are vitally important to Earth's ecosystem, little is known about their behavior. Thus, the Luby Bat Conservancy's mission is to preserve fruit bats and their habitats through research, conservation, and education.
There's a lot of myths associated with bats. Bats are blind. It's a myth. All bats can see very, very well. Bats don't get caught in your hair. Bats don't have disease. Bats can get sick. Any other mammal can get sick, but they are not just sick animals. Bats are very clean, very important animals. Learn about what the myths are. Find out what the truths are. Find out why these animals are crucial to the environment, for seed dispersal, for pollination. Bats here in the United States save farmers between $3 billion and $53 billion a year annually by farmers not having to use pesticides. So bats are not only these wonderful, beautiful creatures that are unique in the whole mammal world. There's a lot of persecution going on with bats right now, be it through using bats for medicine hunting, bushmeat trade, persecution because that they may be on some fruit crops and deforestation. Our main message is to learn about the importance of bats. Get others involved. Transfer that message to everybody. Learn about bats, look globally, and just respect them for the beautiful creatures that they really are.
And a lot of the projects that we've been involved in, that we have funded, and field biologists have gone out and done, is getting the locals involved. We're not going to have any conservation unless you involve the people that live with these animals. Whenever you're talking about fruit bats, whether you're talking about pandas, whether you're talking about snakes, anything, it's all about education and the people that live with these animals, getting them involved and showing how they can make a difference and letting these people be responsible for the animals that are around them.
Hunting, deforestation, natural disasters, and diseases have put bats on a path to extinction. Fortunately, it is not too late for us to reverse this trend. Let's hear the inspiring story of the Rodriguez fruit bat, who made a fast comeback thanks to the involvement of local people.
This right here is called a Rodrigues fruit bat, and these bats are found on one little tiny island off the east coast of Madagascar. And at one time, these guys were one of the world's most endangered mammals. And because they live on that tiny little island, they're pretty restricted in the range where they're from. And unfortunately, a lot of trees on the island were cut down. There was heavy deforestation on the island. And the reason that these guys were able to hang on is because they lived in the interior of the island in an area called Cascade Pigeon Valley. In the late 1970s, there were only about 75 individuals left in the whole world. About 25 individuals were brought into captivity and started on a captive breeding program. The good thing about fruit bats, they breed pretty easily in captivity. Right now there are about 650 of these bats in captivity, and there's about 5,000 on the island. And the reason that there are 5,000 of these bats on the island where they're from, Rodriguez Island, is because the locals got involved. There was a woman in the 90s, her name was Mary Jane Rabuti. She started an environmental education program. They started to plant a lot of native trees and local trees. They got the community involved and really stepped up environmental education and projects on the island. And because of that, these guys have made a significant comeback from 75 individuals in the late 1970s in the whole world to over 600 in captivity and about 5,000 in the wild. Now, they're still considered critically endangered because one massive cyclone or natural disaster could really hurt the population. Her name's Grace. She was born here, so she was hand-raised by her staff. She obviously has no problem interacting with us. And that's another thing to note, is that these bats are used to us. These bats are used to being around people. In no way would we ever encourage anybody outside to approach any bat, any type of wild bat.
Professionals at Luby Bat Conservancy emphasize the importance of properly handling when encountering wild bats.
These bats are used to us, so you know, we're pretty comfortable going up and giving Gracie, although I am going to keep my fingers away. We're pretty comfortable giving Grace some nectar, but if anybody does happen to come across a wild bat, whether it's in their house or it's on the ground, we ask that you contact your local wildlife authorities and let them know. If there's a bat on the ground, chances are that there's something wrong with it. So we encourage people, if you see that bat, please leave it alone. Contact the professionals, contact the local wildlife authorities in your area.
Now, let's hear more interesting facts about the bat residents at Luby Bat Conservancy.
Hey, buddy. These guys use their wings for thermoregulation, and a lot of times in the summer, whenever the temperatures are really hot, they'll kind of fan themselves, that it looks like they're using their wings to cool off their body. But what they're really doing is similar to what an elephant does. Whenever it's flapping its ears, it has such a large blood supply in the ears that whenever you cool that blood supply off, it goes to the rest of the body and cools the body off. Same thing with these guys in their wings. In the summertime and in the really hot months, they'll fan themselves, but it's not that they're fanning their bodies. They're cooling off that blood supply, that massive blood supply in their wings. That goes back to the rest of the body and cools that off. Whether their bodies are hot or cold, that they'll use their wings for thermoregulation. Just stare down. The thing is, they don't really like to stare into your eyes or each other's eyes. They'll look and they'll kind of look away, but that's whenever they'll get the wings out, and then they make themselves really look, you know, as big as they can and start to do that swim motion. It's a defense mechanism, yeah.
Breeding is included of the Luby Bat Conservancy mandate as part of its restoration program.
We're very strict about our breeding groups, who we put together, what male, because these bats have harems in the wild, so it's, we usually put one male, maybe two, but usually one male in with a group of females, and we're very strict about who we put with who. And a lot of it depends on demand. Just a couple years ago, we had 12 pups born. The little guys right here are called a little golden mantled flying fox from the Philippines, and they're considered threatened. The species in the it's kind of to the side, the larger species, is called a variable flying fox, and they're found in Southeast Asia. This little girl right here was born in July of 2010. Her name is Nina. And her mother is actually the bat on the left. So we'll usually keep moms and daughters together for as long as we can. Kids obviously love the species. They're small, they're blonde, they're pretty cute. All the bats in this pen were born here at Luby. We have what's called a stud book for all the bats we have here. So we know who the mothers are, who the fathers are, brothers, sisters, cousins. So that way, whenever we put together breeding groups, we're very controlled, very selective when it comes to genetics and breeding pairs. These guys in this pen range anywhere from 3 to about 12 years old. And lifespan for these guys, again, they can live upwards of 30 plus years.
Among its many projects, Luby Bat Conservancy is also involved in the scientific study of the unique aerodynamics of bat flight.
Just an example of one of the projects we're doing right now was funded by the United States Air Force, and it's through Brown University here in the United States. And if you think of any other animal that flies, an insect or a bird, even planes, everything has a fixed wing. Bats do not. Bats have hands just like we do, which are their wings. And what they wanted to do with this project is to study how do bats fly, how do they manipulate their surroundings, the aerodynamics of bat flight. Another project we did was looking at calcium in bats and the calcium load that the mothers undertake whenever they're nursing their pups. And we actually sent some researchers out to American Samoa to look at bats there. So that's an example of a project looking at bats in the wild to better their lives here in captivity. So we've been involved with numerous research projects. We have over 150 publications involving our bats here. We work with Boston University a lot, University of Tennessee a lot, and it's really to bring everybody together, a collaborative effort to study fruit bats in captivity, ways that we can make their lives better in captivity, and also populations in the wild to better conservation. We have projects in Borneo, Madagascar, the Philippines, Africa. We've got projects all over the world. And recently we've funded a project with the University of Florida to study bat populations here in Florida, because there's not really a lot known. So we're going to continue with Louis Bacardi's legacy. We're going to continue to fund projects worldwide.
Fruit and nectar feeding bats play a pivotal role in the ecology. It is estimated that more than 134 plants that yield products used by humans are entirely or partially reliant on bats for seed dispersal or pollination. In order to spread the important message of protecting these vital beings more efficiently, Luby Bat Conservancy actively participates and organizes festivals and events.
We just had our 7th annual Florida Bat Festival, where we had over 5,200 people here, which last year we had 2,200, so that's an increase of 3,000 people. Now, that is the only day of the year that we are open to the public, but we do a lot in terms of tours and outreach. And the numbers this year, we're looking like we talked to over 10,000 students of all ages. We talked to kids in public schools, private schools, home schools, scouts, professional groups, you name it. We do it whenever it comes to education, and we also give professional courses as well, and we're continuing to expand on our educational program.
Our admiration, Luby Bat Conservancy, for the loving care you provide to the lovely fruit bats at your facility, and for your continuous work to highlight the importance of protecting them. We sincerely thank you for giving us the rare opportunity to learn about these mysterious and amazing animals. For more information on fruit bats and Luby Bat Conservancy in Gainesville, Florida, USA, please visit www.batconservancy.org. Thank you for watching today's edition of Vegetarianism, The Noble Way of Living. Coming up next is Between Master and Disciples, here on Supreme Master Television. May love and compassion lead us into a new prosperous era where humans and animals live together in peace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG.